Garden City has 3 miles of what historically has been underused riverfront, but that part of town has attracted the attention of developers. Now, new modern houses are being built next to some old, run-down mobile homes. That development is good for the city's tax base, but it could also be bad news for low-income residents. Adam Cotterell reports.
A big man and a skinny teenager are hauling a couch out of a mobile home. David Green and his son live in the one next door. They're cleaning out this unit for the park owner. Green does remodeling and sings in a rock band. He loves his neighborhood. The Greenbelt Trail and the Boise River are just yards away.
Oh, it's wonderful. It really is. And this is such a neat area because everybody knows each other and we watch each other's backs and we take care of the properties. Everybody works, has jobs. It's a really clean, family-oriented area.
But Green doesn't expect any of these mobile homes to be here in a few years. He says the land is just too valuable.
Prime real estate, absolutely, and I'm sure they want to develop it into huge condos and anything else they can make out of it.
Green says some of his neighbors are worried that if that happens, they won't be able to find anywhere affordable to live that's closer than Nampa or Caldwell. 2 blocks away, past Boise's Whitewater Park and a footbridge to Boise, are the high-end homes of the Waterfront District. Some are still under construction. This is the first development of its kind in historically poor Southeast Garden City. Todd Hans is weeding in front of the house he bought here 2 years ago. In addition to being neighbors, Hans and Green look a bit alike. Both are built like linebackers, both have beards, but are mostly bald. Hans says he was excited to move to Garden City.
I don't want to displace the normal Garden City residents. I want a mixed community, you know.
Hans thinks there will be more neighborhoods like the waterfront built soon. He says he hopes people won't lose their homes because of that. But he says he's worked hard to realize his own home ownership dreams. He doesn't know if he can have it both ways.
Well, you know, I've lived in this valley, grew up, my father is a postal worker, you know, not high income, and I've worked at Micron for almost 20 years now, saved up money and lost money, and was able to have enough to move down here. I don't want to displace people who want to live here and who have been here. Maybe it's a pipe dream.
I think it's inevitable they'll be displaced, but I think there's opportunities in other parts of Garden City.
That's Diane Cushling. She talks as workers break down tables after a forum she organized on low-income housing. Cushling is a community planner who has consulted for Garden City. She thinks all the land along the south side of the river will be redeveloped over the next several years. She says low-income people will be pushed away from the river, but not necessarily out of town. She says there's a lot of land in Garden City that could go from business to low-income residential.
So if we can find a way to create affordable housing in those infill lands, then I think there's hope that people who live in Garden City now will be able to find something at least as close by.
Joe Swenson is trying to do just that. Swenson directs NeighborWorks Boise, until recently called Neighborhood Housing Services. It's a nonprofit dedicated to home ownership. NeighborWorks will soon start building 50 small houses in Garden City for low-income residents.
Because we know that that area will start to gentrify, and so we want to get in there early. We're not saying we're the solution to everything, but we're trying to curb the potential for it to really become gentrified.
But Swenson says everything under construction or even being discussed around low-income housing is for people on the higher end of the low-income spectrum. So the people most likely to be pushed out of Garden City entirely are its poorest residents.
It's clearly an issue that's looking for a solution. Everybody I talk to in the community development world is struggling with the same issues.
The issue is you can't replace the ancient mobile homes some Garden City residents live in for anything nearly as cheap. NeighborWorks doesn't know how much its houses will cost, but certainly more than the $300 a month some rundown mobile homes go for. And city leaders want the oldest mobile homes gone. Mayor John Evans walks along the Greenbelt behind City Hall. Evans says, contrary to what some people believe, the city does not want to demolish every mobile home. Just ones that are unsafe.
There's going to be a continuing need for people that don't want to live in an apartment. Even if it's 10 feet around the perimeter of a trailer house, they want their own place. And I respect that. And for the foreseeable future, that's going to be a significant part of our housing stock in Garden City.
Evans is excited about the development that has begun here on the historically poor side of the river. He calls himself a free market guy and says the market will largely dictate what happens. But he's conflicted. Evans talks about a moral duty to all Garden City residents.
How do we take care of the folks we have here, whether they're on the upper end of the scale or the lower end of the scale? To use that morality word, I have to internally figure out where that balance is.
Planning consultant Diane Cushlin says Garden City is doing all it can to keep low-income housing. But she says there isn't much Idaho cities can do. She says, unlike many states, Idaho law doesn't have much to say about low-income housing. And she says this isn't just a Garden City problem. She says the entire Treasure Valley could be facing a low-income housing shortage. For KBSX News, I'm Adam Cotterell.